And the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Chapter 4. Ugly Religion. Jesus felt sorry for the blind men and touched their eyes, and at once they could see. Matthew 20:34. It happens in business when you make products you don't market. It happens in government when you keep departments you don't need. It happens in medicine when your research never leaves the lab. It happens in education when your goal is grades, not learning. And it happened on the road to Jerusalem when Jesus' disciples wouldn't let the blind men come to Christ. When Jesus and his followers were leaving Jericho, a great many people followed him. Two blind men sitting by the road heard that Jesus was going by, so they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The people warned the blind men to be quiet, but they called out even louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and said to the blind men, "What do you want me to do for you?" They answered, "Lord, we want to see." Jesus touched their eyes, and at once they could see. Then they followed Jesus. Matthew doesn't tell us why the people refused to let the blind men get close to Jesus, but it's easy to figure it out. They want to protect him. He's on a mission, a critical mission. The future of Israel is at stake. He is an important man with a crucial task. He hasn't time for indigence on the side of the road. Besides, look at them. Dirty, loud, obnoxious, embarrassing. Don't they have any sense of propriety? Don't they have any dignity? These things must be handled in the proper procedure. First talk to Nathanael, who talks to John, who talks to Peter, who then decides if the matter is worth troubling the master or not. But despite their sincerity, the disciples were wrong. And so, by the way, are we when we think God is too busy for little people or too formal for poor protocol. When people are refused access to Christ by those closest to him, the result is empty, hollow religion. Ugly religion. A striking parallel to this occurred in a San Antonio hospital. Paul Lutz took a bad fall that left him with a punctured lung, broken ribs, and internal bruising. Lying in an emergency room barely conscious, he probably thought things couldn't get much worse. They did. As he looked up from his hospital bed, the two doctors responsible for his care began arguing over who would get to put a tube into his crushed chest. The argument became a shoving match, and one doctor threatened to have the other removed by security police. "Please, somebody save my life," Lutz pleaded as doctors fought over him. The two doctors were arguing over procedure. While they were debating, two other physicians assumed responsibility for the patient and saved his life. Hard to believe, isn't it? Needs ignored while opinions disputed? Yet it happens, even in the church. I got a call this week from a man who listens to my radio program. He grew up in a non-Christian home. He works, however, with two Christians of two denominations. I thought it strange he called me when he had Christians as co-workers. Then he told me, "One says this and one says that. All I want to do is find Jesus." It happens today. It happens when a church spends more time discussing the style of its sanctuary than it does the needs of the hungry. It happens when the brightest minds of the church occupy themselves with dull controversies rather than majestic truths. It happens when a church is known more for its stance on an issue than its reliance upon God. It happens today, and it happened then. You see, in the eyes of those closest to Jesus, these blind men had no right to interfere with the Master. After all, he is on his way to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to establish the kingdom. He has no time to hear the needs of some blind beggars on the side of the road. So the people wanted the blind men to be quiet. They are a nuisance, these beggars. Look at the way they are dressed. Look at the way they act. Look at the way they cry for help. Jesus has more important things to do than to be bothered by such insignificant people. Christ thought otherwise. Jesus felt sorry for the blind man and touched their eyes, and at once they could see. Jesus hears them in spite of the clamor. And of all the people, it is the blind who really see Jesus. Something told these two beggars that God is more concerned with the right heart than he is the right clothes or procedure. Somehow they knew that what they lacked in method could be made up for in motive. So they called out at the top of their lungs, and they were heard. God always hears those who seek him. May I give another case in point? Go back in history a few centuries. Hezekiah, king of Israel, stirrer of religious revival in the land, calls upon the people to abandon false gods and return to the true God. He calls upon the people to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But there are two problems. One, it has been so long since the people partook of the Passover that no one is ceremonial clean. No one is prepared to partake. Even the priests have been worshiping the idols and failed to observe the necessary rituals for purity. Two, God had commanded that the Passover be celebrated on the 14th day of the first month. By the time Hezekiah can assemble the people, it is the second month. So the Passover was kept a month late by impure participants. Hezekiah prayed for them. Lord, you are good. Please forgive all those who try to obey you, even if they did not make themselves clean, as the rules of the temple command. Do you see the dilemma? What does God do when the motive is pure, but the method is poor? The Lord listened to Hezekiah's prayer, and he healed the people. The right heart with the wrong ritual is better than the wrong heart with the right ritual. Some time ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, at a conference. I called home and talked to Denilyn and the girls. Jenna was about 5 at the time and said she had a special treat for me. She took the phone over to the piano and began to play an original composition. From a musical standpoint, everything was wrong with the song. She pounded more than she played. There was more random than rhythm in the piece. The lyrics didn't rhyme. The syntax was sinful. Technically, the song was a failure. But to me, the song was a masterpiece. Why? Because she wrote it for me. You are a great daddy. I miss you very much. When you're away, I'm very sad and I cry. Please come home very soon. What dad wouldn't like that? What father wouldn't bask in the praise of even an off-key adulation? Some of you are scowling. Wait a minute, Max. Are you saying that the method we use to approach God is immaterial? Are you saying that the only thing that matters is why we go to God and that how we approach him is relative? No, that's not what I'm saying, but I do appreciate the question. Ideally, we approach God with the right motive and the right method, and sometimes we do. Sometimes the words of our prayer are as beautiful as the motive behind the prayer. Sometimes the way we sing is as strong as the reason we sing. Sometimes our worship is as attractive as it is sincere. But many times it isn't. Many times our words falter. Many times our music suffers. Many times our worship is less than what we want it to be. Many times our appeals for God's presence are about as attractive as those of the blind men on the side of the road. Lord, help! And sometimes even today, sincere disciples will tell us to be quiet until we can do it right. Jesus didn't tell the blind men to be quiet. God didn't tell Hezekiah to shut down the celebration. I didn't tell Jenna to practice a bit and call me again when she had improved. The blind men, Hezekiah, and Jenna all did the best they could with what they had, and that was enough. You will search for me, God declared, and when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will let you find me. What a promise. And with the blind beggars, he proved it. The last scene in the story is worth capturing. The two scraggly dressed, smelly but bright-eyed beggars are walking, no, skipping, behind Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, pointing at flowers they'd always smelled but never seen, looking into the sun they'd always felt but never witnessed. Ironic, Of all the people on the road that day, they turned out to be the ones with the clearest vision, even before they could see.